Welcome to the Watermark Church Podcast. Today we continue the series, What If? Week 7, What If I Forgave? Let's listen in.
And this whole series has been about this. There's all through Scripture, it talks about if my people humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then. There's always these ifs with these then promises in Scripture. There's tons of them. And it's interesting because it's not about what if the impossible, what if the possible? What if you did invite your friends to church and they did come? What if you did decide to go to missions and go to China and plant a church and you end up working underground churches and do a coffee shop and it works? What if it did work? You're there. What if we decided to do something and it does happen? And so it's interesting because we live in this. And a few weeks ago, I talked about this, and I want to emphasize this one more time. As a parent, it is so hard to release your kids. Now, I can't imagine my kids going to college. I didn't even want to think about that feeling. I have to go over the hurdle another 10 years about my kids driving. That frightens me to death. But imagine, now Sawyer's going to camp this year and all these things, and I'm like, you got to keep on releasing your kids and releasing your kids. And the thoughts keep on me, what if something bad were happening? What if it? And I said this a few weeks ago, and as I was just praying, I'm like, I got to say this again. Listen, so many times we say almost like ultimatums to God. Well, if I do this, and you got to keep my kids safe. If I do this, then you got to do this for me. But listen, one of the things I ended with a couple weeks ago was this. What if, as parents, we stop praying, God, keep my kids safe, and we start praying, God, make my kids dangerous for you. And we started saying, God, you know the best for my kids. I'm going to protect my kids, but Lord, what do you have for my kids? And so that kind of mentality saying, what if? And in the Scripture, there's a lot of what ifs. John 14:23, Jesus replied, if anyone who loves me will obey my teaching, my Father will love them, and he will come to them and make our home with them. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. It's pretty much saying, if you do this, you know, saying you keep my commands, this will follow through. All parents know this. Show me you love me by following what I say, right? Clean your room. I don't want to do it. You don't love me, right? Show me. But it's interesting because in Scripture, when we obey, there's a lot of things. When you obey the Lord, you will have insurance of salvation. God's love will be perfected in you. You will be successful. This, if you obey this, your prayers will be answered. You will enjoy friendship with Christ. Your needs will be met, and God will direct a path for you in life. Isn't that crazy? It's like, if you obey, then these things will happen. And so I'm going to jump into this right away. We're talking about siblings today. We're talking about family. And so I'm going to end with the prodigal son story. But before I jump into that, I just want to introduce you to my family. You guys want to see pictures of my family? You can put the first one up there. This is really fun. Look at it. We love the Denver Broncos from the very beginning. You want who I am? I'm the one over there. The one in the far right. That's my older brother, and then there's my two sisters. Look at me, no front teeth. I look like a junkyard dog with a Broncos shirt. We're at the Mile High Stadium. Go next one. This is my favorite because my parents are in it. Everybody's like, aw, isn't that fun? This is my siblings and my parents. Look at Eileen and good old Woody up there. And go to the next one. This is like one of my favorites. I don't know, but I like my little vest with the little shirt. You like my little vest? It's not awesome. And so here's the deal. We talk about siblings today. And if you have siblings, if you're not a single kid, you understand the reality with have you love your siblings and the major frustrations with your siblings. Is this true? And I'm the baby, so right away when I say the baby, if you're the oldest, you're already going, oh, one of those, right? You're already thinking, oh, it's one of those kids, of course, because there's this natural rivalry that happens because if you're the oldest, you're almost like the guinea pig. The parents are trying everything on you. You're the one who literally, how many oldest do we have in here? Like oldest kids. So literally for you, you're the one, if you have siblings, you're the one who babysat all the time. You're the one who had to always be the responsible one. You're the one that they, you know what I'm saying, got in more trouble than anybody else, right? You were always that one. And then also the other ones come along and it was the trial and error with you and they learn from their mistakes. I remember when Sawyer first came here, like we were like, it was like holding Sawyer was like fragile glass. We're like, oh, Sawyer, we don't want him to do it. And all of a sudden Sadie's here, we're like smacking her, picking her by the leg, smacking her, I'm just kidding, we're not doing it. That's what the nurses were doing when she came out though. I'm like, my baby. But it's like, you're still fragile, but you're not, because you learn with the first few, and all of a sudden it comes. And that's just, I'm not saying anything bad, but there's something naturally that happens in the mind of siblings, happens that way. You guys agree? And so there's always like, well, the youngest is more spoiled. They get more things. When it's, well, there is a difference. There is a difference that begins to happen, good or bad. And so it's interesting, because I'm going to read about the prodigal son story, and we're going to read it together. But before we do that, it's a parable. It's not a true story. It's a parable because a parable is describing, Jesus is trying to make a point here. And so in order to understand who the point of the story is, you got to understand who Jesus is talking to. In the prodigal son story, Jesus is literally talking to the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of the time, who pretended to be everything was perfect, it was all about their works, all about their religion, and at the same time, they were missing who Jesus was, the relationship with Jesus, because to them it was about a set of rules and things. And Jesus started telling the story about the prodigal son. So this is the audience. So if everybody can stand up, we're going to jump into this. And I want us to read this. It's kind of a long, where you'd be standing for about 3 hours, just so you know. But I think it's important for us to stand during the word. And this is found in Luke 15, 11 through 32. It says, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property with them. The younger son is demanding his inheritance from his father, okay? Not long after, the younger son got together all he had, set off to a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. So he partied like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, like those partiers. He just partied, you know? And so, like the Jersey Shore kind of party. And so here's what's happening. So he took his inheritance, his money, and from his father. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out as a citizen of that country and sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. He was poor. He was with the pigs. He had nothing left. Then he came to his senses, realization moment, came to his senses and said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? Saying he has better food. And here I am starving to death. I will go out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went on his way. How many of your parents right now are thinking with your teenager kids, I wish they would go feed some pigs for a while, right? But this is what's happened. He's realizing what he had. He's realizing that moment. The son, so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still on his way there, his father saw him and was filled with compassion, and he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And the son said to the father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put on the ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is now alive again. He was now lost, but now he's found. So they begin to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older sons, older people, raise your hand, older siblings. This is going to make you fume already, right? You're already going, ugh. Older brother, meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing, so he called one of his servants and asked what was going on. Your brother has come home, he replied, and your father has killed a fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became very angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, look, all these years I have been slaving for you, never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me any young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when a son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill a fattened calf for him. Can you sense the anger in that? My son, the father said, you always will have me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because the brother of yours was dead and is now alive again. he was lost and now found. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name for this morning. Lord, as we ramp this series up with what ifs, there's so many people who will face anxiety and worry and fear. We compare. We compare our lives to everybody else, and we think we compare what we have and who we are to somebody else. But Lord, that comparison kills compassion. And I just pray in Jesus' name, help us to make you number one. And I just pray in Jesus' name, help us to call back to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody grab a seat. We're going to jump into this. There's this tension between the older brother and younger brother. And the older brother is more responsible, gets the short end of the stick, of course, and is looking at the youngest brother going, what the deal? You took half the inheritance and you quit working and you became like the Jersey Shore. And then, yeah, you learned your lesson. But listen, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm still here. I never left. I never partied. I never went anywhere. I'm still here. I've been working while you've been celebrating. I'm still here. And yet we're going to throw a party for you? Think about this. And now I'm just going to throw this out there. Isn't it interesting how in that point of frustration, isn't it true like you're at a job and you feel like you work harder than the person next to you, and yet they're the ones who get congratulated? Anybody else get really mad by that? They get to move up in the company, and you're like, dude, no one's looking at me. And it's interesting because we lose value in ourselves at that point because we feel like we're being looked over. And we feel like, and so it begins in our hearts. Listen, if you have an I deserve more mentality, you will always have a hard time celebrating with somebody else. I'm just going to say that. And here's my thing. If you have a hard time celebrating with somebody else, you probably have issues going on that you need to work with in your own heart. Because here's the deal. If someone comes to you and says they got a job promotion or something happens, and you instantly think of things why you don't get and why you should deserve that, there's things going on. Because this is what the older brother is going through. And the younger brother, probably he just feels like, oh, you just spoiled. So I'm just going to go through the three people really fast, and we're going to ramp this thing up. Number one, the youngest son, the youngest brother. He takes the inheritance, and he pretty much says, peace out, I'm out. And he leaves, and he spends all the time traveling and partying. Once he realizes he has no money because a famine happens, he eats with pigs. And so he's sitting around eating with pigs, but wanting to go back because he finally realizes, I'd rather be a slave in my father's house than being a pig pen with these characters. He says, he learned the art of work all over again. Because listen, I do believe we understand we gotta work hard. I'm not saying we don't have to work. I'm just saying we gotta understand the value of work because it's our responsibility. Because here's my little soapbox. Can I just show you my political soapbox? Here's what I believe. Especially Christians, but we need to have a culture again where we stop fighting for our rights and we start fighting for our responsibilities. Amen. We need to be people who fight for what we are responsible for, and not just saying, well, it's my right. Dude, that's fine, it's your right. But what are God's given us that we're responsible for? And so it's interesting because here he is, squandered everything, and all of a sudden, he says, I'd just rather go back to my dad who's employed. It's almost like he never had his own faith. It's like, even though his dad probably believed in the Lord, it's like he'd never made it his own, and he wanted to experience rebellion himself. It's like he doesn't care what his family was saying, he just wanted to go experience himself. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And it's like he didn't make that point. Number two is the older son, the older brother. And this is the point I want to twist this around a little bit because Timothy Keller, anybody ever read books by Timothy Keller? He is genius. And so I would love to tell you this is something I taught myself or the Holy Spirit taught me. This is all Timothy Keller. But when I realized this, there's a book called The Prodigal Son that he wrote that details this, and it's a phenomenal book and a video. And this is the point. I never realized it till he made this point. And this is what I want you to check out. When we read that story about the prodigal son, we always put the emphasis on the prodigal son that came back is the prodigal son. but I want you to go back to who is the audience in this story. When Jesus is giving this parable, he's actually giving the parable to the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders at the time, who were doing everything right, but still getting it wrong. Can you catch me for a second? So what happens is there's two kinds of sins. There's ones of commission and there's ones of omission. If you're taking notes, this is pretty meaty, so catch this. Sins of commission are things that we're not supposed to do that people do. So that's lying, cheating, murdering, all that kind of stuff. Sins of commission are things, don't do this. And the church over the years have been really good at making their boxes the same. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't. And this is good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this is bad. But anybody who doesn't go to church, any of us can tell us what we're against. And so the sins of commission are things that you're not supposed to be doing that people do. That's the sins of commission. And then there's the sins of omission. Now, check this out. As a parent, you understand this. Anybody understands. If you're a boss, anybody understands this. Those are the things that you're supposed to do and don't do. Check this out. So if I'm a parent, if I tell my kids don't cheat and lie and they're not doing that, that's awesome. But if I also tell my kids go clean your room and they don't do it, right? It's interesting because those are the things, the sins of omission are the things that we're called to do and don't do it. So when Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, their soapbox is, we're not doing this, we're not doing this, we're not doing this, and we're not doing this. And Jesus is like, I don't care what you're not doing. You can still get it wrong or right and still have it all wrong. He's pretty much saying, listen, you can stay away from all the bad stuff and do all this and you still not get it right because you're not doing anything. Here's the greatest irony. The greatest irony was they were not doing the wrong things, but they weren't doing the good things either. And so he's talking to these Pharisees saying, listen, you're still missing it. What have I called you to do? So the big question today is this, what if we did what God has called us to do? What if we did what God calls us to do? And so we go back to the story. He's telling the religious Pharisees this story. So you know what? What Timothy Keller says, it has nothing to do with the prodigal son coming back. This story, it's called the prodigal son. It's not called the prodigal son because the prodigal son returns. It's called the prodigal son because the older brother never comes into the party. Well, check this out. I'm going to read this. It's going to be up on the screen. I'm going to check this out. That verse, it says, the older brother refused to go in the party. Verse 25 says, meanwhile, the older brother was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing, so he called one of his servants and asked him, what's going on? Your brother has come home, he replied. Your father has killed a fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in, so that his father went out and pleaded with him. His father went out and pleaded with him. And so he answered his father and says, look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Listen, this is like going towards the Pharisees. He says, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I can celebrate with my friends. But when his son of yours has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you will kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you will always have me, and everything I have is yours. But he had to celebrate, be glad, because your brother was now dead, is now alive, and he is lost and now found. Think about this. The older brother confronts his dad. It's like he's saying, I have served you all these years. I have never disobeyed your command, yet you never give me the youngest goat that I might celebrate with my friends. You never gave me a party. You go out of your way for the youngest. He always gets extras. So here's what's interesting. I think we're kind of in two camps here. And I'm just going to throw this out. At this point, it has nothing to do, from the rest of the story, has nothing to do with if you're the oldest or youngest or age or anything. It has everything to do with mentality. Because he's talking to the Pharisees at this point, and he's just saying, he's literally referring to them as the older brother in this analogy, saying, look, I did all this. I'm doing all this. I'm doing this. A religious, now listen, when I talk about religion, I'm talking about your whole relationship is based on religion, not a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a different thing here. So when it's built upon religion, a religious practice, which is not necessarily bad, but when it's not about the love of the Father and it's not about who Jesus is, it becomes a bunch of rituals and stuff that just, you know what I'm saying, it rules and not about a relationship. And this is what it's referring to. And so what he is saying, he says, yeah, you've done all the things, rules, right. You've done this and this and this, but you still miss me, your Father. You still miss this whole thing. Like you miss where this is going. And because for you, it's all been about work, 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 work. Can I just be honest with you? We have a whole generation of kids. Some people might get mad when I say this, but here we go. Dude, the baby boomer generation, I think it's because they grew up in the Great Depression. They just believed in work, 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 work. They go home at late hours, have no, a lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of them don't have any relationship with their kids, and they wonder why this whole new generation is all about social media. Because when it's about work and not connection, it's not bad. You're trying to provide for your family without having relationship with the family. And now you have a bunch of generation of kids growing up who just want relationship, and a lot of them don't know work. Isn't that weird? Yeah, we get mad at both sides of this table. And it's interesting, you got to have work and relationship, how it works. But hard work doesn't always make you tired, but it's the attitude behind your work. For instance, it's not about our performance because Jesus already performed for us. It's not just based upon this. Mary and Martha in Scripture had the same problem. Mary wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus, but Martha just wanted to do the work. It's not bad, but Martha made the work more important than being with Jesus. She put two in place of one. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord first, and your work will come second. And it's interesting because the older brother did all this right and still missed out because he was working, but for the wrong reasons. Because when you have it right, your work is you have the right reasons. He wasn't working for the Father. He was working to get ahead. He was working to make his own kingdom. And so he was missing the whole point of it. And then you have this, which I feel like is interesting, but you have this, I feel like I deserve the mentality. So some of you feel like the older brother. And then you have the younger brother who is ashamed, comes back, and doesn't feel like he deserves to be loved. Isn't this interesting? I don't feel like I deserve to be your son anymore because I squandered everything. Here you have the son who feels like the older son feels like he always deserves more. And then you have the younger son who feels like he doesn't deserve anything anymore. And here's what begins to happen. So the younger son was foolish and the older son was prideful. The younger son was physically lost, but the older son became spiritually lost. The younger son didn't want to be didn't want the father's love. The older son thought he could earn the father's love, and then that's the difference. The younger son didn't feel like he deserved the father's love, and the older son said, if I just do this, then God's gonna love me more. Then all your relationship begins to be is an earning relationship, not based upon love, because I'm telling you, if I serve my wife just because I serve my wife not because I have to, but because I want to, because I love, my love compels me to serve. And I'm telling you, when our love compels us to work, you will work better because his love compels you to work. Is that making sense? And not the other way. I don't work to love. I love because that's what gives me my strength to work. It's an attitude change. And then you come to this. This is my favorite part of the story. This father. In Jewish culture, the father wore the long, with a belt and a sash. And it says that the father saw the youngest son coming home. And I love this because it says he hiked up his pant, his skirt. He hiked it up and he started sprinting after his son. Think about this. He hiked up. That's against culture. That's not, or Jesus is explaining this. It says, he hiked up his trousers, I don't know what it's called. He hiked him up and started sprinting and yelling at his son. And then he embraces his son who was lost, who didn't do anything good and says, he's now found and embraced him. Can I just tell you this? Isn't it amazing that we serve a Lord that embraces us when we're stupid? That he is literally going to run to us undignified and say, welcome home. And I love this because the son took the inheritance, everything he gave him, and squandered it. And I'm just going to give you a little side note. This is not even in my notes. There's people sitting in this room. You might have grown up in church. Maybe you had a call upon your life. And maybe for a few years, you went a different direction. You were going your own way. And all of a sudden, you decided to do your own thing. And you, at a point, you decided to come back to the Lord. And here's your question you've always had. Did I lose everything the Lord gave me? Did I lose my calling? Did I lose what God has promised me? Did I lose this? And I'm telling you, here's my answer. The Lord hikes up his pants, runs after you, embraces you, and all he says is, welcome home. And you're part of the family. Do I believe you lost it? No, what was once lost is now found. He brings you back in. It's interesting because as you keep on looking, the Father freely gives. The Father gives grace to both the older and the younger brother. God the Father invites. I want you to check this out. Dan and Brian, you guys can come up here. The Father invites. Here it is. There's two camps, younger and older. Not age. I'm just talking about there's two mentalities. The rebellious and the religious. Check this out. These two people, older and younger, signify there's two gaps here. There's the people who literally are raised in church. Raised in church their entire lives, and they feel like, I do this, 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 I come to church, I give an offering, I've been on a few mission trips. I serve my time. I don't want to help in a nursery anymore. I serve my time. I've done my things. Can I just tell you this? If you're still breathing, you still have a purpose. Dude, jump in. There's that religious being that says, and you literally sit there, and as you watch news, and as you read books, and as you just have this like pompous, like, ugh, what's this world coming to? Shambles and... Like you and your news programs, or it's good to be aware, but at the same time, be careful of your neck. A few years ago, I was watching news and I was getting kind of overwhelmed with everything in this world, and you just wonder, how is the Lord ever going to change this? And then I came to a verse that very next night, that same night I was home, and it says that God's arm is not too short that it cannot save. Isn't that true? I started thinking, You know what new people, you know what your friends, you know what your people you're trying to connect with at work, you know what people don't need? More religious Pharisees. I heard a quote just a few days ago, and it said, Brendan Manning said this, he says, I didn't become a Christian because somebody told me about the nuts and bolts of Jesus Christ. I became the Christian because somebody became the nuts and bolts of Jesus Christ. We don't need more people standing up saying, this is what you're doing wrong. This is what you need to fix. We need more people who are compelled by love to go into the highways and the byways, to go to the communist countries, to go into coffee shops in Stillwater, to go to people at your work. And when people come to you and saying, I'm sleeping around, I'm making mistakes, and instead of you saying, dude, you're an idiot, just saying, hey, can I just pray with you? I don't know how I can help. How can I love on you? What if, now listen, its irony is this. Let me bring you back. The prodigal son. It's amazing that that son came home. We have a lot of religious people that need to come home too. Like you said, he's talking to the Pharisees, the prodigal son. The story ends, check this out. The story ends by the father inviting the older son into the party, and the story ends right there. We never know if the son ever came into the party. He was invited. Chances are he never came in, but he was invited. Everybody stand up this morning. I don't want to really end with this, but I do want to end with this because this is a huge point of what if. And this is what the last few weeks, I've been thinking about this in my head. So catch me on this. We say words like all the time like, Lord, forgive us of our sins and forgive us of our trespasses. Lord, forgive us. But I want you to think, there is the rebellious over here of the son, and then there is the religious over here. So the question is this, what if I don't forgive? What if I don't forgive? Well, I'll tell you. Matthew 6:15, here's a verse that none of us like to hear. You guys ready for this? But if you do not forgive others of their sins, your Father will not forgive you of your sins. That's not preached about enough, right? And the reason this is so hard to hear, because I'm not saying forgive and forget and it's all over. I'm just saying it's simple. It's just saying, listen, here's what I love about it. What God is saying, he says, I have forgiven you and you and you and you and you. I just don't want you to hold unforgiveness to one another. That's what it's saying. Don't be the older brother and not allow the younger brother to be celebrated. Don't hold that grudge, because listen, unforgiveness is like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die. It's holding you back. And God says, listen, I have forgiven you. Let's forgive others and let's celebrate. You know what your family needs? Your family. For healing? Forgiveness. You know what you need? Forgiveness. You know what we need? We just need to be, saying we need to realize this.
Thanks for listening. Join us next week as we continue the series, What If?